When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the No Film School podcast. This is Gigi Hawkins, and we are continuing our coverage from Sundance with another roundtable. This is a roundtable featuring the writers and fellows from the Women Write Now Fellowship, as well as directors and the head of the program. Women Write Now is part of a collaboration with Heartbeat, Kevin Hart's production company, as well as the Sundance Institute. And it's a fellowship for Black women. In addition to having three fellows on, we were joined by Candace Wilson-Cherry, Heartbeat's head of film. So we really get a development producer's and a development executive's perspective on comedy, where we're at, what needs to change. And she takes us through how the program is designed to directly address the lack of BIPOC women in leadership positions like showrunners and in writers' rooms. And in addition to diving into the art of comedy, of course, because all of these shorts are very funny, we also dig into the art of directing for comedy with Hey Boo director Logan Browning, who you might know from Netflix's The Perfection and Dear White People. All of these shorts are directed by actors, the other two being Tika Sumpter and Nicole Byer, names that you definitely know. And I think what we tap into is how comedy and how performance and how understanding that as a director is, it's so critical, because I think the performances in all of these sketches just shine and are hilarious. So this conversation is a goldmine for directing and writing comedy. Here we go. Now we're going to go around and introduce ourselves, or introduce you guys as a team, because we have three amazing shorts, three hilarious shorts. The funniest thing that I've seen at Sundance, because I got a pre-screener. And it's really,
love that.
It's really refreshing to have something to laugh at.
Can I bring you with me to the screening tonight?
Yeah. So why don't we start here, and you can introduce yourself and the project that you worked on and your role in the project.
So my name is Danielle Solomon, and I wrote Hey Boo.
I'm Logan Browning, and I directed Hey Boo.
I'm Kiana Butler-Javangwe, and I wrote Night Off.
I'm Candace Wilson-Cherry. I'm the EVP and head of film for Heartbeat, and I worked really closely with our CEO, Ty Randolph, to create this program.
And I'm Mayanna Barron, and I wrote Power Dynamics. Yay!
Nice. So we'll get into what these shorts are about in a moment. But first, Candace, tell me about the Women Write Now program and what it is.
Absolutely. So Women Write Now came out of many conversations that we've had at Heartbeat. Ty Randolph, who's our CEO, myself, Jeff Clanigan, we've all had conversations about where there are voids in this industry. You look at recent studies from like AFI that talk about how the silent era actually had more female representation behind the scenes as directors, writers, producers than we see today, right? Which says a lot. And for us, it's really important that all of our films, TV shows, formats all are reflective of the world. That means, you know, our producers, writers, directors. But when we have those conversations, you know, and we're looking to cast and we're looking to hire directors and producers, we consistently kept finding a void in the writing space when it came to Black women. And when you start to look at like showrunners, it's even less. So, you know, that was the first origin. And we wanted to create a program that was going to be something actionable, long lasting, that would create change through mentorship, advocacy, through workshopping, through a rigorous program, which everyone will get into in a bit, but something that'd be a real intensive program that everyone would have something to show for themselves when they leave here and hopefully would launch their, you know, next steps.
Nice. And what was the process of finding talent? So did y'all apply to the program? Did you scout people out?
Yeah, so we put out the call in different places. We've worked with, you know, our partners such as Sundance Institute and various other, you know, companies, agencies, and postings, and everyone can kind of share like where they heard about it. But, it, you know, word of mouth, it starts to become word of mouth. Mm-hmm. But we were really excited to have nearly 600 applicants.
Wow.
And these three amazing fellows came out of those applicants, which is no easy feat. But that's how we put it out there. And then we start to read down and start to whittle down to mm-hmm. our top picks. And in this batch, we found some really diverse stories, all hilarious, all giving you different varieties and levels of comedy. And yeah, we're extremely excited about this group.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk about how the ideas came to be. And we'll start with power dynamics and we'll move around the circle in this direction. Can you speak to what the short is and also when you came up with the idea and how the development process for writing came to be?
Absolutely. So power dynamics is about a woman who is an executive assistant. She gets reassigned to a new desk at her job and her new boss is super difficult, super alpha. But when she starts on her first day with him, they both discover that they know each other already because she has been his dominatrix for a while. So immediately there's a shift in power for both of them, having to balance both presenting professionally at work and also this very established prior relationship that they have with each other. The concept came to me in like 2019. I was working as an executive assistant and I was just like noodling. And I love the idea of power shifts and scripts and how quickly they can happen and stuff. So I was just trying to think about like what would be an immediate shift for someone who is in a lower position, you know, with someone who's in a higher position. And I thought it was really funny. And so originally I wanted it to be a feature. And so I noodled on that for a while. And then my partner and my writing partner as well sent me the posting. He was like, you should send that idea that you were noodling around with for so long. So then I had to like strip a bunch of stuff back of like, okay, how do I make this the most comedically efficient script possible? And I found some really fun stuff. And I think I found a version of it that I really, really liked.
As a former assistant, it was very satisfying to see the power flip. And also, like you said, instantly there's comedy in the juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. So was that, and you applied with the idea, with the script?
I applied with a 10-page version of the mm-hmm. script. You know, I remember on the posting, I really appreciated the language with this. It was like, we want it to be a work in progress. We want it to be mm-hmm. something that we can help mold and shape. So I got it to the place that I as furthest I could with it, you know, understanding that there would be changes, obviously. Mm-hmm. But between the first draft and the final draft, it was mostly the same, but, you know, much more efficient, much tighter. You know, I really worked a lot with my mentor to just find like laughs in every line, stage direction and dialogue and stuff. So that process was really great.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk about Night In, correct?
Night Off.
Night Off.
Yes. Night Off is about first-time parents, their first night without the baby, they're trying to reconnect, so they smoke a little weed, and the mom starts to have some trippy hallucinations and major mommy guilt.
Are you allowed to reveal the voice?
When does this come out? Yeah, I think. Producer.
Wow. I don't think they've announced distribution and stuff yet. Have they announced distribution? No. Yeah. So we probably shouldn't announce who. Yeah.
So there's a great cameo in it mm-hmm. that you have to tune yes. into.
Yes.
And I was like, I know that voice.
Yeah, that was really exciting. We went, I won't say who it is, but we went to the same high school.
Really?
Yeah, Long Beach Poly High. So it was just amazing when I found out about it. I was getting my makeup done and Tika Sumter, the director, sent me a text saying that she asked this person and I literally just freaked out, text my mom who said she almost passed out when she found it. But yeah, I'm a first time mom myself. So I was about 3 months pregnant when I started writing it and I was really struggling with an idea to submit. Mm-hmm. And me and my husband had a date night, drank too much wine and mm-hmm. just got a little mm-hmm. silly. And we were like, this is the story. Mm-hmm. Let's just go nuts. And I love stoner films. Friday is one of my favorite movies. And so I just went crazy with shit jokes and weed.
Nice, nice. And so were you able to, you said you wrote it when you were 3 months pregnant.
Yes.
Did the story change or did anything develop after?
So the talking elephant was not originally plant. Mm-hmm. And so I had the character, you know, sort of like kissing this elephant, like remembering her baby. And I was like, this thing should be talking to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it just, you know, the elephant's kind of her guilty conscience talking back to her. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to tell her to leave her baby because being a mom is hard. But, you know, Tika helped me really realize, too, that it's about people reconnecting. And it's mm-hmm. like a little bit of a love story, too, which I was just thinking of the mom aspect of it, the new mom aspect of it. So that was really nice, sort of discovering a different layer and different element to the story.
Mm-hmm. Cool. How about Hey Boo?
So Hey Boo is about an Atlanta braider who is notorious for canceling on her clients. So she finds herself in a situation where she has to braid her way out of being canceled. So
that's a great logline.
So good.
So this story came about just from like different stories from my friends with like braiders, hairstylists, makeup artists. I had a makeup artist cancel me before a big event. And I had to try to find another person, ended up paying double because it was so last minute. So it was just the frustrations. TikTok, they had like a whole hashtag about it. And so that's where the idea came from. I found out about the fellowship through a coworker who had read previous work of mine. I had wrote like a sitcom about my upbringing. And she was like, you need to apply to this. I'm like, I never wrote a short film before. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm used to doing like half hours, hours. Like that's what I learned in college, how to write that in plays. So it was a little challenge for me to put everything in a 10 page. And I'm telling you right now, the script that I had before to now was completely, it's not completely different, but it involved ghosts and all this other stuff. And Candace was like, budget. I was like, okay. So my mentor, Kay, really worked with me to kind of like ground the story and bring it, you know, bring some heart into it and get rid of like all the whimsical stuff, because I wanted to still show like the magic of going to get your hair done, because you can go somewhere and look busted and come out feeling like Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to add some whimsical stuff to that. And Logan, she added that into the film. So I'm glad like we were all on the same page. But yeah, that's Hey Boo.
I love the I thought the whimsical stuff still felt like it was very much present yeah. in the script. And you say that you cut the ghosts, but I'm like, in a way, there are like the ghosts are yeah. there still. So and how was it coming onto the project from a director's standpoint?
I was so excited about this. So I've acted for my whole life. I started mm-hmm. as a 14-year-old. And so really 2 decades in this, I wanted to direct much sooner than I even was acting. And Jen Kushner actually had taken a online program? Is it, what is it? What would you call it? From Lisa. Yeah. Audited. Oh, yeah. She audited one of Lisa's class. Lisa Robertson is my acting coach and she's incredible. And so I would do interviews with Lisa, and she had seen me do one of these interviews with Lisa, and she's like, you know, Logan has like a kind of a director's mind. And so I think she kind of threw my name into the hat, and Candace and Ty bringing me on to this was amazing. So getting Danielle's script was, I was so excited with the whimsical stuff she's talking about. Like it was insane. And I was like, yes, like, I'm sci-fi black girl all day. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was so excited about it. And as we had to adjust things for the budget, it was really important to me to still have those elements of magic. Mm-hmm. Danielle, you're right. There's an element of like, there's that black girl magic element in mm-hmm. the film, but as someone who has been in sci-fi films, but also it vibes to them as an audience member and viewer. I wanted to be a part of seeing that.
Nice. And was this your first time directing?
It's my first time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Heartbeat is lit. Heartbeat has, they've like, honestly, I do get really emotional about it because it's something that I have tried to do for a long time. And like, you know, I've invested my life into acting, right? So I have been very blessed to be working. And so when I have all, you know, I meet all these different people and I ask them like, hey, you know, can I shadow? Like, what do I need to do to like, maybe, you know, direct your very low budget indie film? They're like, well, we need to see what you can do. Like, where's your short? And I'm like, okay, great. Between seasons, maybe I'll figure out how to do the short or, you know. So for them to see in me, like, we see your potential, we see your passion. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you this support and these resources, this incredible partner you with this amazing writer. Mm-hmm. They have helped me walk into a door that was closed. And now I will have something to show for when people ask like, well, what have you done? I'm like, oh, I can show you.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm so surprised to hear that it was your first time directing, because it's so tight, so well done, so funny. And we're going to get into the development. And I also want to talk about like directing and writing for comedy specifically. But before we do that, you've touched upon the mentor process that y'all had. And so I'm curious, Candace, what was the development process with these three individual projects? And how did you oversee that?
Yeah, so it was really important to us, and this is an area that Jen Kushner and I work really closely on together, to find the right mentors. And it's a collaboration. Jen, myself, Ty, we reach out to our entire network. So everything from the advisors to the mentors, those are personal contacts, professional contacts. We're making phone calls, we're texting, we're like, hey, we got this going on. Because it's really important that they have exposure to these different people to sort of demystify some of these areas that become, you know, sort of a roadblock. Like if you don't know what's like on the other side of the job or the other side of, you know, the agent or getting an agent, then you don't know how to go further in your career. But so when we looked at our mentors, they were all writers that I had worked with previously or known. Ty also had a really good relationship with Lee Davenport. So they were all like showrunners in different capacities. And then we spoke to all of the writing fellows and got a good sense for their personalities, also looking at their scripts and sort of getting an idea like, okay, who would be the right pairing? Who would kind of get it? Like Lee has a child, like, you know, there's certain things that like they're going to understand in a different way. And we use that same sort of thought process when pairing our directors too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the director pairs could not have been better. they were like literally like it was serendipitous how it all sort of like fell into place when Logan read the script for Hey Boo. She texted me and also I wasn't supposed to send it to her. I slipped it to her and I was like, oh no, she likes it. Because we were supposed to kind of take a beat and sort of talk about who's going to get which one. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I was like, well, there's one that takes place in Atlanta. And she's like, I'm from Atlanta. And she just gravitated to it. And they all sort of gravitated towards their script in that way. But so pairing them with their writing mentor, personality based first and foremost, also having a good understanding of where the writing mentors come from in terms of like, are they feature writers? Are they series? What type of comedies do they normally work on? Do they work on dramas? And we figured that they would give the best exposure, the best education, and also the best guidance to help them sort of navigate the notes that, because they were going to get some pretty tough notes. Like there was no pillow walk here. Like we'll talk about it when we get to the production part. I'm sure you'll have some specifics about it that you want to know, but it was an intensive. I think we should probably be calling this more of an intensive because there was like time constraints and we had to cut things that like, and we never want to cut something for just the heck of it. Like we want you to have everything you can have, but it was just finding people who would be able to guide them in the most nurturing way possible while also giving them a real life glimpse into what it would be to get notes from a network or from a studio. Because when you're a new writer, oftentimes we find that it's really hard to separate from your baby. Like your script is your baby. It's your brainchild. And it could be tough when someone's like, okay, you need to cut this entire page.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get to this faster. This doesn't make sense from a story standpoint. And this group was incredible and so gracious in trusting us with taking those notes, with taking their mentors' notes. I know how tough it is. Please know we know how tough it is. That's why at the very beginning when we first meet you, we're like, we're sorry in advance.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the greater good. And that's a big part of it. So there's a first pass of notes that they do with their mentor. Then Jen oftentimes gets it first. I'm always kind of peeking at it.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we never want them to go too far down the road. And then it's like way off from a production standpoint or it's like way over budget. Like, you know, just kind of like eyeballing it. And then there'll be several passes. Then we bring in their director to also take a look at it. They have notes. I think that's what's really unique about the fact that our directors in this situation are actresses as well. They bring a wealth of experience and understanding certain things. There's certain nuance that Logan is going to understand, that Tika is going to understand.
Right, right.
Nicole as a comedian is going to understand. Like she knows where those beats are between the lines and can help to like guide some of the notes process as well. And then it comes to production and like that's when we start passing the pages around and breaking it down. And we're like, okay, guys, so that's really good. But
well, I think as emerging writers, it's, which I put myself in that box too. So I understand it's hard to get good notes. A lot of people are like, gold star, you did it. And it's like, we don't have, no, thank you. Like, I want it to be the best it can be. So
actionable feedback.
Yes, yes. What was the biggest challenge in, and feel free, anybody can chime in the writing process. Like, was there a thing that, like, I'm seeing some nodding. So yeah.
I mean, even in my interview, they asked me, like, what do you need to change about the script? And I was like, the ending needs work for sure. Like, I think I got to the end and I just wasn't sure what the right balance of, like, should they get in trouble for this? Did they technically do anything wrong? And so I had to really, you know, think about that for a while. So when I submitted it, I was like, this ending is not the ending that I want it to be. And I was very honest with them about that. And then I found a really nice balance working with Yamara Taylor, who is my mentor, who's written for The Boondocks and Black-ish and Dave. And she really helped me find some funny new ways to get there.
I think being aware of the ending isn't working right now was probably one of the things when you were interviewing her, like, oh, she's very self-aware. What a great writer.
And she was always very open to notes, like even from the very beginning, before we even like proceeded. It was, you know, you were just like, yeah, let's figure it out.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Which is a big part of it. We wanted writers that were going to be open to the process because they were going to be the ones who were going to get the most from the process.
Yeah, I come from a sketch writing background, and so I'm used to writing with a lot of people. So we're constantly pitching jokes to each other and like, yeah, you can't end the sketch this way and stuff like that. So I definitely worked that muscle up early.
Now, I'm skipping over and I want to come back to production. But were there any discoveries made on set with the actors that you had, or was there any rewriting on set? Because that's the thing that where they're like, OK, this isn't working. We need to rewrite this whole scene and you have 2 minutes to do it.
I think for mine, there were ad-libs that were really funny that we kept in the cut that I saw. So, like, yeah, they were, like, different ad-libs that the actresses added in that I liked that I think were kept in the cut.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, there weren't too many major rewrites on set, but it was just allowing the actors to just have fun with it. So they do a version that was on the script, and then they just play with it. And just, you know, as a writer, just looking at that, it was a part of the process of just letting go and just trusting that, you know, their line might be funnier than mine. And whoever has the funniest line should be the one that goes in the film. So that was a learning experience for me.
100%.
I'll say as a director, one of the things I learned, it's going to sound like a negative thing, but I want to share it because it's something I learned as a director. We cast these amazing actors. I made sure that all of my actors they had these characters down because I knew we wouldn't have a lot of time and I needed them to come in with a strong character, but also they had the ability to improv. But because we had like, my thing was like, we have to make sure we get all of Danielle's script, like the script, it was script first for me. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to do, they did ad-libs naturally, but we didn't get to do as much improv. Mm-hmm. And as a director, like next time, I for sure want more of that. And so that's one of the things I definitely took away is like, make sure your actors get to like be free and play. Because as an actor, I always want that. And I always feel a little bit when a director is like, can you just go back to the script? I'm like, oh, you don't like my art? Okay.
I'll take my art and go home.
They're like, no, just like the thing that we're like paying you to do, like do that. But seriously, like allowing people to play is how magic ends up happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's actually use that to talk about casting because every role, this is the thing I'm most excited to talk with you all about because I thought the casting was so well done and every like there was not a single weak performance, which is not the case in most short films. Like so what was that process? We can start with Hey Boo and feel free to chime in from a production standpoint.
So we hired a casting agent that was working with us with all the different filmmakers, but also the directors were really instrumental. Like I think this is an area where the directors really were like raising their hand like, hey, we have people that we would love to incorporate. Like Logan had a great network, a great community of actors that she felt could bring her script to, you know, bring Danielle's script to life. Nicole as an improv, you know, queen, she just knew tons of incredible comedic actors and actresses that were like, hey, Nicole, like, let's come play. And they had tons of fun. There was tons of fun on set. We were cracking up. Tika was just awesome with that as well. Like, so it was a combination. So we had we had a casting agent that we worked with. Mm-hmm. And then also it was directors and then just any phone calls being made to bring in the best talent possible.
When we were casting Hey Boo, I was excited for the actors because it was an in-person session. It's something as an actor I'm very frustrated about, that things are still very self-tape. Mm-hmm. You don't get to, I think it's very hindering to our community, because the entire art, television and film community, because you're not evolving. Mm-hmm. You're not learning how to communicate, how to take notes, how to give notes, how to be a person, you know, and interact in a room. And so I was really excited that we did an in-person session. But what was interesting was there were some actors that came in, specifically Kay Winks came in, and her role, the way she brought that role, looked completely different from what Danielle had kind of like, and I envisioned on the page. And
which role was she?
She played the first person who shows up. Oh gosh, Danielle.
Isis.
Yikes.
Isis.
She plays Isis in the film, and she brought a completely different version of what that role looked like on the page. But I liked it. I was mm-hmm. like, I felt like there, and what was important to me was that all of our actors were very different. I wanted the characters to all feel there are no two that are alike. Mm-hmm. And there was something she brought that was had a very different energy. And so, and Danielle trusted too, that like, okay, yeah, this person is different from what we imagined mm-hmm. the role, but sometimes it just works.
Isn't that satisfying when you're like, this is even better than I imagined. I didn't even know this is what we needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. How about for night off?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't too involved with the casting for that, but I heard that Nicole, who plays the aunt, Adrienne, showed up in the exact same outfit that she wears in the film. She was so good. So she just had this great energy to her. As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, this is not how I envisioned the character, but you are working it, and I just love you. And then Kenny had a nice, like, innocence to him that I think made it a little funny. Like, mm-hmm. you could tell he never smoked weed before. So he was struggling with the prop, like, bong on set. But it made it very funny. Like, Tika was able to play with that.
Tika definitely wanted it to be in person as well. That was a big thing for her. I think that's something that is a good point, Logan. Like, there are people that you see the tape and you're like, eh, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. And then they come in and they blow your socks off and they're amazing. And then sometimes it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that doesn't quite read the way I thought it would. So it's like someone who could be a front runner mm-hmm. all of a sudden is like a number two choice. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, and to your point, I think that's sometimes the bummer when you don't get an opportunity to do in person. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know that till you get to your table read. And you're like, oh.
Did you guys have a chance to do chemistry reads at all? Or
we did table reads.
Okay.
So, because there was just like, we didn't have time to do like a chemistry read. And then like, and you probably, did
I
you do a
chemistry
bit?
Read, the mom and daughter role, and which was cool. Because I had to pair, it had to happen very quick, and I had to just like pair who was in person. But it's funny, so who ended up being our Ayana Anaya is Brittany Ayana Clemens. And she was actually, I saw her tape first. She was actually the first tape I watched, and she was my number one. She was always my number one. And she's busy. She couldn't make the audition, the in-person auditions. And I was like, oh no. Oh, like I, you know, and I actually ended up doing a callback with her on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So I never saw her in person. And she was just hilarious. I asked her to improv on Zoom and she had me crying. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is my girl. We actually have the same birthday. Like she's
written in the stars.
It is. And so it is interesting. Some people are able to translate. Oh, she also works a lot in the digital space. She creates a lot of her own content. So I think she knows how to like connect virtually, digitally, which is a skill that is a new skill people have to develop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually think I'm thinking in real time, the majority of viewers of all of these shorts are probably going to be online. So mm-hmm. that's really the key thing to dial into.
So cool.
Okay, so I can ask some more questions, but I also would love to open it up and see what questions you all have for each other.
Oh my God.
Ooh. What do you guys have?
Hmm.
Oh my goodness.
I have a question for Logan.
Yes.
What's next?
Oh, you're so sweet, Kiana. I love these ladies. Well, for one, I hope to continue to work with, if I can ever either support these ladies, work with these ladies, continue to work with Heartbeat, with Sundance. Like, this has been the absolute best experience ever. I cannot imagine a first time experience with any other program. It was written in the stars. That for sure. I want to, my high end goal is to direct an episodic in the next year.
Yeah.
To write my own short, because it was really amazing to have a script to work with. But it's, I think as a director, important to like hear my own voice and go through that like emotional process. So yeah, that's what's next. Thanks, Kiana.
Hey.
You're welcome.
I was a journalism major.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah. Got a little
what's
bit.
What's next for you, Kiana?
Well, first, I need to correct myself. I said I was 3 months pregnant. I was 3 months postpartum. So I had a whole child.
Oh, whole ass child.
Hold a ass
You did
child.
Mention you were drinking
child.
Wine.
Whole baby. Yeah, so that was part of the like guilt, the mom guilt, is because I'm still breastfeeding at the time and just trying to figure that all out. But for me, I just finished a new pilot. I want to get repped. That's a major goal of mine. And I'd love to do episodic. But Jennifer Kushner whispered in my ear that I should turn this into a feature film. So that's probably what's next.
That's a great little, you should do this.
Yes, right? Yes. So that's probably what's next. Yeah.
Danielle, what's next for you?
So my day job, I work on the network side. So I'm on the other end. So I've been on brutal note calls and stuff like that. So hopefully with that, I have something that I developed within the network that hopefully can come into fruition and I can get a creator by credit. But, you know, it's stuck in business affairs and legal right now. Right now, I'm just polishing my scripts, looking for reps. I have an Abbott spec that I'm in love with because that's like one of my dream shows to write on. I have other like pilots and stuff that I'm passionate about in the future. So I'm just working on those and getting those ready.
So it feels like there's a lot of episodic.
Yes.
I'm going to see your names on TV very soon in the credits.
I love TV. Yeah. Just obsessed with it. But love film too. So
yeah. Film is cool.
Why limit myself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't. People, so I've heard that it's like, oh, you should stick in a lane, film or TV. But it's like, well, what is the story?
Why not?
Especially these days.
Yeah.
I feel like, 100%. You know, even at like over at Heartbeat, we have all types of formats. We've got feature, we've got series, we've got digital, short form, podcast, you name it. And it's like these days, you don't have to be in one lane. Like you can play around in all these different formats. And actually, there's tons of crossover. It's like, and it actually works as a bit of like a backdoor pilot. So if you have a podcast, your podcast could be turned into a TV show or a feature. We see it all the time. And we're doing it all the time as well, like in terms of development. So yeah, you could do it all.
And Candace, when are the applications opening for next year's fellows?
Wow, that's a good question.
Well, I don't have the exact date, but it's going to be in the spring.
And where could they find such a program?
I don't know.
WomenRightNow.com.
WomenRightNow.com is where you can find all information about any upcoming seasons and sessions.
Right, W-R-I-T-E.
Yes, Women Right, which is W-R-I-T-E, now.com.
Now, you mentioned that you have some sketch experience. Are you, and I like this sort of like flexing into sketch, into episodic. What's next for you?
I cannot say exactly, but it involves the color orange. So I'm very excited. I started that thing that will be announced soon. So I'm going to be doing that for a while. I'm going to be submitting to some more programs, hopefully some with Sundance. Candace has created an incredible network for us over there. And I'm so grateful that we've gotten to meet Michelle. And so hopefully I can continue to get some advice and guidance from her. And then I came from sketch. I would love to go back to sketch. I think I'm going to be going back to UCB for a little bit, do some dusting off of the old improv skills. Yeah, I'm very excited. 2023 is going to be a crazy year.
It's going to be a good year. I feel it. And now what advice, and we'll go around, what advice do you have for somebody who is just getting started out and they want to make their first short or they want to start writing?
Ooh, okay. I'll do writing first and then I'll do making a short. Writing. You got to get good at time management. And you have to find people that you trust who can give you honest feedback on your work, because I think that, you know, you can get caught up in the like, we're all going to make it and it's all so wonderful. But like, you have to be able to show your work to people and have them give you notes and have those notes be helpful. And you have to be able to take in those notes inside your soul and not take it personally. So find that network of people who can help you make your writing the best possible. And then in terms of making a short, be really honest with yourself about what your scope is. Look at the resources you have. Look at the locations you have at your disposal. Look at how much money you can spend on the project. I think you can make something really small scope and have it be super impactful. Save the sci-fi scripts for when you have a lot more money, mm-hmm. you know, unless you can do time travel in a closet, which, hey, you know, you could.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, mm-hmm. especially as we were talking about the magical realism in Hey Boo, mm-hmm. but you guys worked within parameters and you were able to still have the sci-fi, the angle, mm-hmm. but make it work within a budget and within 10 pages. And
yeah, bring it down to what you can control and what you can produce.
Yeah.
You can find ways to make lots of cool magical things with the stuff that you can realistically grab.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
Let's see. Well, in terms of which one do we want to tackle first? Let me see.
I'd say the advice for somebody who's starting out.
Okay. As a writer. So I would say the advice for someone starting out as a writer, A, is always just to write, mm-hmm. right? You only become good by just doing it, right? So like just continue writing, continue, you know, spitballing different ideas and concepts. Don't be hard on yourself. Like don't pan your own ideas because you never know. Sometimes you start an idea and you have to come back to it later on. And you're like, wait a second, I had something in this world, right? Taking classes, taking workshops, if you can't afford them, YouTube and different online sites. There's like all different areas where you can find courses that explain podcasts like yours. Incredibly helpful. Just like listening to other professionals who are doing it. Find people that you admire their career. Mm-hmm. Kind of just learn what they did. Like, and obviously what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for the next, but you can glean some sort of information that helps you. There's tons of programs. If you can get to festivals, it's always important to find your tribe, no mm-hmm. matter what you do. I'm always advocating to go where your people are. Find other collaborators. If you're a writer, find an aspiring director. And if you're in high school, I'm sure there's someone in school that's like, I have my iPhone and I'm going to make this movie on my iPhone. Collaborate with them. Collaborate with someone in class who wants to be an actor or an actress. There's just so many more opportunity for distribution now too. So it's like you can kind of test what works. You can put it on your Instagram, you can put it on your social media and see what people respond to. But yeah, there's no better way than to just do it and find your tribe. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready to take the next step, this is all in addition to, I think Mayanna had some great notes about getting feedback and all that stuff. But once you're ready for the next step, definitely submitting to these different programs. Because that's where you're going to workshop. That's where you're going to really sort of hone your craft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to highlight specifically the like getting your reps in and writing and creating and the amount of time that it takes to get. We talk sometimes on the podcast about the gap, like your taste is up here mm-hmm. and your ability sometimes is lower. And this is outside of all of these shorts, which I actually think are right up here.
Thank you.
but it takes just doing it. And I think, you know, sometimes it feels weird and vulnerable to put yourself out there like that. But that doing it is what will progress the work forward and the career forward. The other thing that I think like this is, all three of these projects are proof that community is key because you guys all tapped into your community and actors that you know and talent that you know or in recruiting mentorships. So building those relationships, I love that.
Nice. And also, how do you know what your sweet spot is if you're not just constantly working on it, right? Because it's like all of us, I'm sure, have a lot of different interests. Like I love horror. I love foreign films. I love, you know, comedies. I love drama. Mm. But am I great at producing all of those? I think I am.
She is, guys.
I'm just joking. We all have our sweet spot, right? Like there's always going to be something. And like, how do I know what I'm good at? It's because you have to do it and you have to sort of. So I say all that to say, like, that's why I say don't pan your ideas. Because mm-hmm. you may say, hey, I want to try this sci-fi thing. Try it, right? And then try the horror thing. Try the, you know, and at some point you might find a hybrid. You might find that you have a lane, which is going to help you. Because I think when you come to the point where you're ready for representation or when you're ready to start making a short film or submitting it, it's really important for you to know who you are, mm-hmm. at least have an idea. Like, And this kind of goes back to, like, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have the script all figured out, but you kind of have to know what you're pitching, because when you get to the point where you're pitching to a network, a production company, a studio, they know what they're looking for.
Right.
There's no such thing as a general. I love saying, I'm like, I call them non-general generals, because every general know that they have a list in their head of what their company is looking for, what they're looking for their particular slate. If they're looking for a talent, they know what shows are casting internally and what could use, and they're parking in the back of their head. There's times I'm like, I don't have anything for this writer now, but you know what? So-and-so in TV is about to staff a room. Maybe, that, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
So it's important for you to know, like, where your interest lies and where you think your strengths are. And that doesn't mean it has to be spot on. Forget perfect. Just focus on the lane where you feel like you're focusing most of your energy, mm-hmm. and that you feel like you're creating your best work, and lean in on making that the best possible so you can get your foot in the door and then continue growing from there.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's really helpful in having, like, been on the development side for a beat as well, is when you're meeting new talent, you have that list in your head, but when talent can articulate where what they want to be versus, like, kind of being like, well, I like drama, but I also like comedy. Like, that kind of, that can mean that somebody would have trouble saying, like, well, where would you fit in? So if you can make it as easy as you can, and that's part of developing the personal brand and developing your voice, then it streamlines the process.
Mm-hmm. It also kind of highlights that you may not necessarily understand the differences in the format.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Because, like, when I hear like, of course, that doesn't mean that you can't do it, like, all or a hybrid of it all at some point. But when I hear that from someone who's, like, pitching me something, and they're like, I'm like, so what are you focused on? And then they're like, all over the place. I'm like, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yet. That doesn't mean they won't know what they're doing, but they're not quite sure yet.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to get a foot in the door. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But you just want to be deliberate when you start to get those shots, because sometimes you don't get those same shots multiple times from the same people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there's also, I'm sure that if you think you're like, oh, I think I'm comedy, I think I'm half hour comedy, and then you try it and you try to put yourself in that box, and then you're like, actually, I am a drama gal. Like, I write 1 hour dramas, ensembles. It's soapy.
And maybe there's a joke in there.
Yeah,
but
yeah. People will laugh, but they're going to cry.
They're going to cry more.
But there's so many different areas in comedy.
Truly.
Like, I feel like this program even sort of highlights that. I think each one is so different. It's so different. And knowing, like, where your sweet spot is, even in that, is it single cam? Is it multicam? Knowing the difference between multicam and single cam, all those things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, what advice do you have?
I would say for years, I struggled to call myself a writer because I didn't have anything, like, out in the world. But if you feel like you're a writer to your core, like, don't be afraid to say it. And then don't be afraid to tell people. One of my first opportunities came about because my mother was just talking to one of her coworkers. It was like, my daughter's trying to get into screenwriting. And the lady was like, well, my son's a director. And then next thing you know, we have a web series. Like, so it's just, don't be afraid to say it. And I still struggle with it, like, to say it. But if it's who you are, speak it into existence. And you never know what opportunities will come from that.
You are a writer. You literally have a short film.
I am
a writer.
Screening at Sundance.
Screening at Sundance. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think it's official.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't have any writing. I can give my first time directing advice
and
what
please.
It was like, because I learned a lot. I did seek out a lot of mentorship. You know, I've been directed by some incredible people. I always watch. I always watch, whether I am signed on to be shadowing or not. If I'm an actor, I'm on set, I am like, when my work is done for the day, I'm sitting at Video Village. I'm watching. I'm listening. Like, if I'm not in an episode a lot, like Sally Richardson Whitfield is an example, I'll be like, can I shadow you for the part of the day? Like, in your prep, like, I'm always on set, but I haven't gotten any prep. Can I shadow your prep? And she's a mom. So watching her, like, in the middle of her prep, and then her kids are calling asking for pizza money, she's like, this is part of it. That's important to me. Or, like, the post, I'm always on set. I would, like, sneak into the edit bay on Dear White People. And I remember one time, because it was on our location of shooting, I remember Justin Simeon, I walk into the edit bay and he's standing there and he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, and he's like, do you want to come watch my cut? I was like, yes.
Aww.
And I went and sat in on one of his cuts. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. Our prop master was in the shot. And I was like, that's so funny. He's in the shot. And they were like, wait, what? Where? And I was like, right there. And they were like, oh my God. They didn't see it. And so, and I learned, you know, how he, you know, takes his notes and just watches the whole thing, how he does the timestamps. And so I was able to learn through that process. Richard Shepard, another one, like, I was like, can I sit in on your post? And he was like, yes, come on in. And I got to see that, like, what his process was like. I got to sit with him and mentor. I mean, I don't know if everyone could do this, but I just, like, DM'd Alma Harrell and was like, can I shadow? And, like, I had met her assistant before, and he responded, and he was like, yeah, Logan, I remember you. Like, come, if you want to fly to Baltimore, come shadow Lady in the Lake. So I did. And that was, like, right when we were starting this. I took the call in Baltimore.
Like, is in it.
When we, you know, but all, after all the mentorship, one of the things I really learned is what Richard said to me. He was like, you're going to learn by doing. Mm-hmm. You're just going to learn on set. And it's so true. I prepped as much as I could, but I remember there were like 30 minutes left on set and we had to get like a couple of shots left and we were not going to get all of them. And so that's when you learn what kind of a director you are. Yeah. What are you going to get? What is the story? What's most important? And even when we talk about budget, you know, and a lot of the magic elements, being able to collaborate and let other people pass on their ideas, like the light flickering that happens, that was Lily Wild, our editor. She was like, what about, because we had done it on set. Someone on set actually suggested the light flicker when people show up. And then it just became a thing. Like, yeah, every time someone shows up, we're light flickering. And so she actually added it in another part on the edit because we didn't do it in the beginning of the day. So just being open to ideas, like that light flicker is a huge part of the film. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes magic happen. So that's one of the advice, all of the advice I would give.
It feels like there's discovery along the way. And you specifically bring up post-production. And I mm-hmm. think a lot of emerging directors are, you know, they don't always think of, I'm actually speaking to myself. I was like, I was going through the motions of directing, but it wasn't until I edited something that I was like, oh, okay, this is why this shot needs to be here. And then when it comes to we have 30 minutes left and we are not going to get all six shots, you know, you're starting to think, okay, how is this going to come together in the edit? And being able to hold that all in your mind, like that is an art.
I have a quick, so before you had said if we had any questions for the rest of the group, I actually have a question based on what you just said. Was there anything that I asked you to cut in prep that in production or post you understood it made sense to you, that you didn't want to cut, right? That made sense to you later on? Because like, it was always hard. Yeah.
Once you guys gave us like a little wiggle room and you were like, oh, you can maybe do a second location, I tried to add a bathroom to split it up. Mm-hmm. And you and Tika were like, why? I just want to, you know, mix it up a bit. And they were like, well, it's going to be too difficult to shoot. And Tika was like, just trust me, I could play around with this space. And so, you know, I saw that you guys were right. I didn't need to have a bathroom in there. And it didn't really add anything to the story.
Yeah.
That was a big note. They were like, we can keep it if it adds something, but if it doesn't,
I'm a big fan of if you don't use it, lose it. Mm-hmm. And like prep is so like when Logan was talking about when it came down to those last few minutes, by the way, it happens every time. That's why I'm like, I keep saying it in prep and everyone's always like, okay, whatever. I'm like, really choose your shots. Cause we shoot everything in each film shoots in 2 days.
Oh my God.
So these incredible
13 minute shorts.
It's 5 pages a day.
5 pages a day. On average.
On average, yeah.
And they literally killed it. But it's super, super aggressive. And we have an incredible crew. And each director got their own DP to make sure that it sort of maintained their own creative vision and that they had someone dedicated to them to work with and bounce ideas off of. But other than that, it's a shared crew in effort to make everything as smooth as possible. But anything that's like a touch point from a creative standpoint, we try to give each individual film a different person on the creative end wherever possible.
Yeah.
So that they're able to collaborate and play around. But it's a lot of shared resources across the board. Yeah, that's interesting. I was always curious. Anyone else?
I had like way too many speaking parts. And I remember that.
You had a lot of speaking parts.
I know. I had like five faceless executives at one point in my script or whatever. I do love that scene. I do miss it. But I understand why we had to cut it. I understand why. And it was much more efficient to condense these sort of five talking head characters into one
very clear, silly character that shows up at the end. Very fun cameo in that one. Additionally, there was a character who like was supposed to only be in one scene at the beginning, and then she just kind of falls off. And then I was like, well, I need someone to keep kind of pushing tension in this. And so she ended up becoming kind of like this third character, Mercedes, and she was so funny, and the actress we got was amazing. So that was a very fun evolution. And I was like, Candace knows. She knows.
But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. Like I'm looking at it from like an efficiency standpoint, mm-hmm. but we really do want to make sure it's super important to me that you're given the space to play and be yeah. creative. So, and that's why it's always like there's a bit of a choice in the conversation, but we know what we can do from a time and a budget standpoint.
Absolutely.
But that's why it becomes a question like, do you need this? Is this the best use? Like, even for Logan as a director, it's like, well, you know, you choose your shot.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's what you want and you want it to be. But also thinking about the post part. And that's the hard part, I think, when you're developing as a writer or as a director or even as a producer. If you're not thinking about post, you get to post and you're like, didn't we have a shot of the tire? We don't have a shot of the tire.
Oh, no.
And then sometimes you don't have like good inserts or things like that. I think that this group did an amazing job. Seriously, in terms of the coverage was awesome. I know there's more things that you would have wanted to get, but honestly, you got a lot of great, great coverage. But that happens sometimes. It's like when you're only thinking about very linear, you get to post. And after you do this a bunch of times, you're like, I think backwards. I'm always thinking about post first as a producer.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Yeah. I'm always thinking about like when I get a script, I'm thinking about the end product.
Yeah.
So a lot of times my notes come from that place.
100%.
Cool. Do you have any advice?
Yes. So my advice, well, it came because I was a journalism major too. And I learned the hard way about meeting deadlines. So I feel like as a writer, you need to practice like setting your own deadlines. A lot of the fellowships, this fellowship had a deadline on when you could submit. So practice like writing on a deadline. I know as new writers in general, you have all these ideas, just prioritize the idea that you want to write about and not try to write a whole bunch of stuff at one time. Like prioritize one project and be like, okay, this is going to be my baby for this month. I'm going to finish it by the end of the month. And because once you get into like the rooms and stuff, you got to turn in outlines, like learning how to outline mm-hmm. is good. And just making sure you hit your own deadline so you can make sure you can make the other deadlines. And then when you get the opportunity, like, hey, I'm already the deadline writer. Like, you're not struggling. Like, because director got to get notes, producer got to get notes, and you don't want to hold up production because you can't write on deadline. I also say if there's a way, like, you can read scripts or shows, shorts, like, read all the scripts you can. Read it while you're watching the film or the TV show. They mentioned post. That person that actually recommended me this fellowship, she's the head of post. So I also sat in a lot of sessions and learned about that. And she was like, yeah, you can see how it starts with the script and then how, you know, you have these issues in post and different things like that. So learning that process too, if you can be an assistant on a production or at a network, that's like the best insight you can get on the industry as a writer.
Mm-hmm. So there's a recurring theme of like letting go and also kind of trusting the process.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
Also, you're definitely there's going to be a lot of heartbreak when mm-hmm. you cut the scenes that you love with the five faceless
but heartbreak
executives.
Feels hopefully good in a place like that.
Yes. Yes. Good heartbreak. Yeah. But that's part of what gets it beating.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all so much for being here and congratulations on making amazing shorts that are screening tonight.
Yay!
Thank you.
And let's just go around one more time. Name, short, and where people can find you on social media.
Okay, so I'm Danielle Solomon. My short is Hey Boo, and you can find me on Instagram at Danielle Michelle TV.
I'm Logan Browning. I directed Hey Boo, and my Instagram is at Logan Larice on all platforms.
I'm Kiana Butler-Javangwe. I wrote Night Off, and you can find me on the gram at Kiana D as in dog Butler.
I'm Candace Wilson-Cherry, producer on the films, and you can follow the Heartbeat Instagram. They're also on, I think there's a Facebook. We have Instagram, Twitter. We're on all social platforms. I'm on social media too, but I'm not interesting to follow.
She's lying. She's very interesting. Mayana Baron. You can find me Mayana Baron on Instagram. And I also got MayanaBaron.com.
Oh, yes.
Nice. So you want to email me or I don't know. Maybe email me. Yeah.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much for joining us, the writers and directing and production team of Women Right Now, I had the pleasure of watching these shorts beforehand by myself as screeners to prep for this interview. And then afterwards, I went to a packed theater to see the premiere. And it was just like alive with laughter. It was so fun to see all this work pay off with an audience wiping their tears away with blankets that were provided in the seats, but they were tears of laughter. So congratulations to this team. We just heard, this is slightly breaking news on the podcast, that the Women Right Now Fellowship is opening up for a third year. So follow Heartbeat and the Sundance Institute for more information for this great opportunity. And congratulations again to these fellows. You can like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also find No Film School on the web at nofilmschool.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and send us your questions at editor@nofilmschool.com. Thank you for listening.